David, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning. It's a tough business, this report.
Yeah. Now, could you kind of unpack what the main findings of this report were?
So this was probably the most thorough external review of the child protection system in New South Wales. And that's the system that at any given time has about 17,000 to 20,000 children who have been taken from their families and put in out-of-home care, foster care or residential care. And it also deals with the response to children at risk. You know, where there's been concerns raised about neglect, child abuse, sexual abuse and the like. It's a pretty fundamental part of the state apparatus in New South Wales. And this report found the system in systemic crisis, effectively in meltdown, with the $1.8 billion budget largely misallocated instead of trying to fix problems before they become chronic and disabling. It's all ambulance at the bottom of the cliff territory where the bulk of the spending is on kids who have been removed and taken from their families rather than being spent on actually keeping families together, keeping kids safe with their families, and in Aboriginal cases, on country. And it said it is so chronic, the problems are so chronic, that it can't be fixed by the ordinary levers of government, that we need to establish an independent statutory body called the Families Commission that can actually direct funding from education and housing and health and family and community services and actually direct that funding towards families and tailor assistance packages towards families that will actually help them deal with what is often systemic disadvantage. It's pretty chilling reading. It's pretty tough reading. And shamefully, on behalf of the New South Wales government, it's been buried and hidden under a cloak of secrecy for 2 years.
Well, this report was released in 2016, and now that was 2 years ago. How has this situation for children in out-of-home care changed since then?
Well, the report wasn't released in 2016. The report was provided to the government in 2016, and Minister Prue Goward has alleged that she's responded to it. She has introduced a couple of relatively small additional projects that will provide some early intervention. She has introduced some modest changes that say for a tiny minority of kids who come to the attention of child protection that there will be some kind of family-focused attention towards them and those sort of systemic attention. But, you know, two tiny pilot projects is really the government's response. So a report that says the entire system needs a fundamental overhaul. And in fact, I think much to the Minister's shame, rather than adopting the recommendations for Families Commission, rather than looking at the overall desperate needs of, you know, thousands and thousands of kids in care, this Minister's main political attention has been running an adoption agenda. That isn't recommended by the Toon Report, wasn't recommended by the Toon Report. And with all the political attention the Minister's adopted to adoption, her plans are to get 250 kids a year put into permanent adoption. And, you know, I've got philosophical problems with the adoption approach. And you know, I've got a nasty history of adoption being used in child protection for stolen generations and like. But even if you thought that was a good thing, and I don't, the Minister's solution is dealing with at most 250 kids a year. And at any given time, there's, you know, 17 to 20,000 kids in care. It's a fringe answer. So the government's response has been to bury it, not really respond to it, and wish it had never happened.
Well, it wasn't actually released until just last week, as we said before, and so that's 2 years it was kept in the dark from the public. You say that they tried to bury it. Why do you think this is?
Well, this is deeply embarrassing for the government, and it's contrary to what the minister's ideological agenda is. The minister's ideological agenda is to push adoption at any cost and to make it sound like that's the solution. Well, we know from the Toon Report that isn't the recommended solution from the independent review. And you only have to look at the numbers. As I said, you know, 17 to 20,000 kids in care, and the minister's solution deals with, even if it all works, and I doubt it will work, a maximum of 250 kids a year. The minister's political agenda is getting in the way of actually the practical problems. And it'd be wrong to suggest the government just passively released this. You know, the government didn't have a sudden moment. The coalition government didn't have a sudden moment where it realised that, oh, the public should see this, the sector should see this, and we should pay attention. But they were forced to release this after myself and other members in the New South Wales Upper House moved a censure motion, and we censured the minister, leader of the government in the Upper House, for hiding not just this, but a number of other key documents. And then following that censure motion, we had a motion which we were just about to move, like minutes before this, we're about to move a motion to actually evict the minister, the leader of the government, the minister, from the parliament because of their failure to not produce these kinds of reports. And it was only literally when it was all locked and loaded and the motion was just about to be read and the minister was about to be removed from parliament because of the government's, you know, secrecy, that they eventually agreed to release the report a few days later.
If you're just joining us here on The Daily this morning, we're speaking with Greens MP David Shoebridge about the report from 2016 into the state of child protection services here in New South Wales. Now, David, there's an entire chapter in the report talking about the need for whole system reform, which kind of begs the question, what changes need to be made to the current system?
Well, at the moment, family and community services have the resources, they have some resources to provide funding for foster carers, and they have some resources to provide funding for residential care. So they can provide the money that we'll see, you know, for the kids who have been removed, we'll provide a home for them of some sort. But family and community services don't have the funds the resources to handle the power to direct the kind of changes that are needed to fix what are often very dysfunctional family situations, you know, systemic intergenerational disadvantage. So to give an example, if a family is having a crisis caused by a mixture of poverty and drug addiction, and these things often come together, that can mean they don't have adequate housing. It means that because there's inadequate housing, the kids often don't have sufficient, there's a real problem in getting sufficient food together and clothing together, so the kids are missing out from school. Once a family starts having those kind of problems, mum or dad may get an addiction problem. And then that combination of events may lead to some chronic health problems with the kids. So you've got a housing crisis, you've got an education crisis, you've got a health crisis, and you've got an addiction crisis. And it's affecting not just the kids, but it's affecting the parents. If you want to fix that, and you want to try and stabilise that family and keep the kid in a family, well, then you're going to need to address the housing. You're going to have to help the child at school or the children at school, and you're going to have to put mum or dad into a rehabilitation program and deal with their addiction. And you're probably going to have to provide some, you know, substantial additional support in the home to stabilise things while that happens. And FACTS at the moment doesn't have the capacity to direct most of those resources. The only solution FACTS would have in that situation would be just simply to remove the child and put it with strangers in foster care. And what the Tune report says is this isn't an unusual set of circumstances. These kind of multiple indicators of disadvantage are often what families and kids are facing. And unless you're going to address the multiple indicators of disadvantage, all you're going to be doing is just constantly removing kids. And we know from all the data that once a child is removed, well, they're very likely to then go down a path of poor education, addiction, poor health, poor economic outcomes, and are very likely to see their kids removed. So you need some kind of, you need a capacity, you need some authority, which is what they recommend the Families Investment Commission, that can direct those multiple resources and actually break the cycle of intergenerational disadvantage. And that's hard. You know, that's actually hard. But unless we do that, we're just, you know, tinkering at the edges and we're managing a system in crisis.
Right. Well, that's all the time we've got for right now, David. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Yeah, that's my pleasure. We didn't get a chance to talk about the issues about Aboriginal child removals, and obviously the answer there is largely self-determination. But if anyone's interested, on my Facebook page, you can see the Tune report, and most of it's in the first 40-odd pages. And have a look at it, get involved, and we need a political movement to deal with some of our most vulnerable citizens, our kids and our families.
Absolutely right. Something needs to be done.
It does.
David, thank you so much.
Pleasure, mate. Good speaking.